Jibba Jabba.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, but you know the jokes about the old man signing the autographs outside?
I'm sorry.
Is that humor?
Well, yeah, it's pretty funny.
Is that humor?
I swear to God, every night there's another Regis put-down joke.
I know, but you know it's because I think the world loves you and I love you, and I know because you're the big man, you can take it.
No, you have always been the big man, but the jokes are getting, you know, here, listen to this. The Austria Supreme Court ruled a chimpanzee is not a person. If the U.S. Supreme Court agrees, Regis loses his show. Magician David Blaine postponed his stunt to stay up for 13 days. He accidentally kept falling asleep while watching Regis. One more and then I'm done.
Okay, good.
These are things he has said, you know, in the last few days. Two guys wheeled their dead pal. Now, look at this. You understand what the man is saying? The man is saying two guys wheeled their dead pal.
It may not have anything to do with you.
Well, we'll see.
All right.
Wheeled their dead pal through Midtown on an office chair to cash his Social Security check.
True story, by the way.
The last dead guy in New York to cash a check was Regis.
The Don and Mike Show.
I guess the word is anal.
Brian Regis.
You gotta have the big ball.
That's your big bitch.
That's your big bitch, Regis.
They race to the funny. Don and Mike.
You know, something we've not heard yet.
What? This might be a good day to
hear that Kelly Ripa thing with Michael Eisner.
Oh, yeah, I haven't heard that.
Remember, we talked about that a long time ago, for God's sake.
It's a schmooze fest, right? A total suck fest?
Yeah, this was on TV all the way back in October. And it's Kelly Ripa pretty much talking about how great she is.
Oh, good.
It's all, seriously, all about her. It's a scene.
What is the show? What is the, it's hosted by Michael Eisner, right?
Yeah.
Called The Gold Show.
It's
Michael Gold.
It used to be called Jew to Jew.
Right.
I'm not sure what they call it now.
But isn't it an inside show business kind of show, with a business of show business?
It has some title like Michael Eisner Interviews.
What I always enjoy is the chance to hear Michael Eisner slur. Slur his words and not finish his consonants.
All I know is we've been sitting on it for a while, and we were just listening to Letterman bust Regis's balls.
Kelly Ripa is a real successful talk show host.
Remind me today, I would turn that show on, the Regis show, and as soon as I saw that Regis wasn't there,
Dougie Hauser was hosting.
Well, all right, sometimes I'll sit through the guest host to see if they're any good.
See Thomas Seymour or whoever it was that was hosting
it's
today.
It's the guy from
Neil Patrick Harris.
That's him.
Right.
And I don't mind that the guy is gay. Uh-huh. He's come out and said he's gay. He's a big one standing out there saying, I'm gay.
I don't give a damn if he's gay.
Yeah, he's gay and he plays a straight guy on TV, and it's okay. Right. But they don't address it when they come out and he sits down and he says to Kelly Ripa, how are you doing? And she says, what'd you do last night for Valentine's Day? And he said, oh, well, we had a wonderful night. We went, you know, we went to a French restaurant where we dined. And the whole time I'm just
We went to a French restaurant where we Frenched.
Yeah, I'm wanting to, you know, scream.
Not that there's anything wrong with
scream
that.
Scream at the TV. Why don't you just tell people, tell middle America, tell the Hausfrau in Duluth, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Who thinks that homosexuality is a sin and God hates fags. Why don't you tell her that you were out having champagne and kissing a man last night?
Yeah, I think really, if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna do this, he's out of the closet. You know, America's got to handle that. And if they have trouble in middle America, well, TS.
They just dance around it, and you know, she says to him, well, it's so nice you had a nice romantic night. And he says, oh, we had the best. It was, you know, meanwhile, you know. So when you went back.
Meanwhile, Gelman's over there just going, I wish I wasn't married to a woman.
Yeah, they don't. And
I really think Michael Gelman is a closet homosexual.
I'm not looking for gay. I'm not looking for gay bashing here.
Right.
And I certainly don't have to go far for it because here comes Rob. But all I'm saying is, how about acknowledging the fact? How about if Kelly Ripa said, is it weird being gay on Valentine's Day? Uh-huh. What's it like when you're, what is this?
Conversations with Michael.
Is that the name of it?
Ah, now we have a title.
Thank you, boy.
No, I know. So what you're saying, the point you're making is, if they're going to do this, you know, out with it. And there's no reason to hide it, and well, sure, out with it all the way.
You got someone who's outwardly gay and who has, I watch that show a lot, pretty good stream of consciousness.
And I've joked about it. I seriously don't think Michael Gelman is a closeted homosexual. I really don't, but I think
and I think he's a quadriplegic.
What he does is these hosts that they get on there, it just seems to me, why not? Well, they're not going to go there. They're not going to go near anything that would even smack of controversy.
Right.
They're not going to be honest about it.
Regis is there, they get some young, you know, good-looking, like Sam Champion, you know, some non-threatening person like that to sit in the chair. And my point is, you've got a guy who's pretty glib, who's pretty good with stream of consciousness, having conversations, mm-hmm. could probably have a pretty enlightening conversation. Hey, what's it like being gay on Valentine's Day?
You know,
in New York?
Really, wouldn't that be fascinating? And wouldn't you be riveted? Wouldn't it be riveting television if they did that? They don't have nearly the guts.
I guarantee 98% of the women listening or watching in Butt Scratch, Idaho, were sitting there having their coffee going, he's a nice young man. And are you listening to him have a nice time with his girlfriend last night?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep, but they won't do that.
No, they
don't. Will not do that.
Anyway, so.
And Regis wouldn't do it either. I mean, in fairness to Regis,
right.
He wouldn't sit there and go, so, with your boyfriend?
Here's the thing. The more I watch Regis Philbin, the more I think there's a chance, as he gets older,
that he gets more curmudgeon-y and he starts saying, to hell with it all?
The questions come, like, what about the day that the guy was wearing the suit, the Bigfoot suit, and right away the first thing that Regis Philbin said was, well, we have our first gay Yeti.
Yeah? Uh-huh. You're saying there's a chance?
Saying he could be sitting there with Neil Patrick Harris and say, so, you gay?
Right.
What does that entail?
I think there's more of a chance as it goes on that Regis will say things along the lines of, well, it's Monday, 1976. I really think
both of the above are true.
Right, well, he's not there today, so I had to change the channel right away. Boo, no Regis. But we do have this Kelly Ripa thing, which is right around the time that you turn the corner toward Kathy Leeville.
Where she is beginning to believe and read her own press.
Now we've got Michael Eisner.
Not the only one. Rosie O'Donnell did the same thing.
Here is Michael Eisner with Kelly Ripa about getting the job with Regis.
But how about the mystic?
Yes, of course.
Was that the first time?
Explain that, or was that planned? It was my very first time guest hosting on the show. And I was only there guest hosting because somebody else canceled. The host they had originally scheduled canceled. And so I stepped in at the last minute. I worked at All My Children down the hall for 13 years. So I was a very easy sort of, can you make it here in 4 minutes? Yeah, I'll be right there. So I showed up.
Now, even when you're hearing this part, you might say, hey, you know, you're full of it. She sounds rather together. She's kind of humble, and she's talking about how she got on the show. Give her a chance.
Okay.
Let her warm up a little bit.
So nobody else knew. So I show up, and Michael Gelman comes in and sort of says, this is this, and that is that, and don't worry about this, and try not to look at me, and Regis will handle the majority of it, and just go with the flow and be yourself, and there's no job at stake here. So get it out of your mind that you're up for some job.
Okay, so there she is. She's very humble about this. She is in the next 30 seconds.
There is a lot of business you're doing. You and your husband, Kelly Inc. You're into a lot of things. I think you're in more magazines. Shape magazine.
Yes. Well, Shape. I mean, eventually, if you stick around long enough, they'll put you on a cover of anything.
That's not true. And Hampton magazine. I don't know. Can you see that?
Never underestimate the power of a good airbrush artist. That's all I have to say.
So self-deprecating.
Meanwhile, he's holding up literally on the slide on TV. Mm-hmm. It's 14 different magazine covers. She's whored herself out to.
I think you're self-deprecating, and I think, you know, I've always thought that when your friend Mark Consuelos goes away on his Canadian movie shoots where he's an extra.
His Lifetime or Oxygen movies.
I've always thought that when he's a glorified extra, there's a chance I could come over and play in your closet.
Well, it's true.
This is a fabulous picture.
Thank you. Thanks. I mean, I enjoy that stuff. It's fun. It sort of gets you out there and promotes you in a way that doesn't seem too self-promotional, but, you know, you want to let people know what else.
There you go. Now she's talking about behind the scenes on the show where you can promote things, but people don't know that you're promoting things.
So in the way you're tricking the people.
Other things you're doing.
How are you taking advantage of your obvious success, your likability in business? Are you going to
doing
things with Mark?
I have to say that because I have the talk show.
All right, now, hold on. Hold on. What happened to this guy?
That's your big bitch.
The last time I checked, you were just like the fourth woman to sit next to him. When I got the talk show.
I am really excited by hearing about your business. Talk about business. Does that turn you on? I'm horny.
It has allowed me on a couple of different fronts to sort of open other business opportunities. First and foremost, the sitcom came.
Oh, is this where she talks about she only endorses the product she really uses?
And she's right now talking about hope and faith.
Mm-hmm. Like that. What it showed me is that I really did have a passion for sort of making the show happen, which is why Mark and I started a production company. But in terms of like all of...
This is your kept man,
it's
Mark
called,
Mark
it's called Pussy Whip Productions. Can you imagine that?
It's poor, called Don't Piss Her Off Productions.
Poor Mark Consuelos. Uh-huh. That guy, struggling soap opera star, his wife gets the lucky break of a lifetime.
Was he even a lead on the soap opera?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah.
The sort of media stuff, you know, it all goes back to that morning show, that great opportunity that a lot of people said I shouldn't do because I was an actor and it would ruin my chance at acting.
See, now again. Where's the humble girl mm-hmm. from 10 minutes ago?
A lot of people told me not to do it. It would ruin my Meryl Streep-like acting career.
Yes.
I'm just reading between the lines here.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, I sort of go on the air every day, and during those first 20 minutes, that host chat, where we don't know what the other person is going to say, we open up and we talk about our lives. And I find that action of just talking about my life, talking about things that I do in my life, have just brought to me other business opportunities.
Okay, now this is where she really goes off the deep end, because I think she's...
There was the morning that I said, I really have a problem with hemorrhoids. I could not stop that phone from ringing.
I thought you were going to say, you know, this allows you the chance to look into the camera, make a one-on-one connection with the viewer. Mm-hmm. What she's saying is, and the most amazing thing is, I just mention a product, and because I'm me, well, I get a commercial.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Kelly, you're really turning me on right now. You know, you're talking about you're sexy, and you're talking about business, and those two combined, I'm ready to burst.
Can you imagine Regis watching this? I think this is why he had the heart attack. Seriously,
you're like aren't you a spokesman for companies?
I one day told a story on the air about OnStar and how OnStar settles marital spats between Mark and me. And the company, you know, immediately contacted me, thought...
Immediately.
Don't you want to just call her the name that Jane Fonda said yesterday? Uh-huh. One day I'm just talking on the air.
Well, we're sitting here with Kelly Ripa, and she's describing how wonderful it is to be her.
It was great, and so, you know... I became a spokesperson for the company. I one day got a stain out of Regis's shirt, you know, on the air using Tide. I became a spokesperson for the company. So, you know, these things, when you take on sort of the advertising side of things, signing up to be a spokesperson for companies like Tide or like OnStar or Commerce Bank, you have...
I tell you what.
She's plugging it out.
Name drop.
She's worse than a NASCAR driver. And now, a NASCAR driver is paid when you're on TV, say, right. Well, our Chevrolet was working good today. Mm-hmm. Our Harris Teeter car is working. She's doing this now.
That's right.
this B-word.
To believe in what you're talking about. There has to be a ring of truth to what you're saying, or people will sniff it out like that.
Well, what if I'm sniffing out right now that I don't believe what you're saying right now about being honest about doing commercials?
Yeah, it's that really, if you're listening to her, it sounds like she mentions it on the air and all of a sudden she just becomes a spokesperson. No, there's this little thing we call money.
I think that's what's so beneficial about my job is sort of I haven't had to go seek these things out and say, well, I can say this is really great or that's really great. I've just said it and then they call me and say, would you say it and come on board with our team? And
amazing.
It's something I believe in already.
It's definitely a younger, blonder Oprah. That's all we have here. A younger, modern audience.
Right now, Eisner's got his pants around his ankles right now.
I've got to tell you, when I hear you talk about business, I'm very, very excited about it. Boy, can I have you on the floor right now?
She almost slipped up there. She almost said, and you can almost hear her say it, would you come on board and say it for money? But what she had to say for someone, would you come on board and say it?
Be part of our team.
For our team.
All right, so you have a marriage, you have three children, but you also have, you're becoming an institution. People think you're the next. No, there you are. I hear the next Oprah. Kelly. You're doing commercials.
He's not helping.
Obviously, you did the sitcom. Uh-huh. You're very much in demand.
By who?
By me. This is Michael Eisner. I'd like really you to come up to my bedroom this afternoon.
I will do anything for a dollar. There. Let's just get it out in the open.
Right.
Let's just say
okay.
It right here right. On the air. No, I think that
No. So she says it but then diminishes it like she's making a joke.
Right.
Right.
Opportunities have presented themselves to me, and it's very funny because at the time
honey, I got news for you. If you weren't there to hold Regis's drool cup, Jan Carl would be sitting there. Uh-huh. It really doesn't matter.
Jan Carl.
It doesn't matter who's changing Regis's diaper. Do you understand?
Right.
These women are interchangeable, and you've now become a more anorexic Kathy Lee Gifford.
Yeah, and that will continue. I mean, we see the signs.
Sure.
This is how it started with Kathy Lee, and I'm worried.
Talk show was sort of on the table. A lot of people said, you better not take that. That will end your career. You're not a talk show host. You're a
troll on a soap opera.
Yeah, your acting career. I mean, where are the soap opera stars on the pecking order?
Kelly, think about this.
Except La Lucci.
You get to work with David Canary every day. Who wants to gamble that?
Kelly, it's Michael Eisner. You know, when you talk about business, I really get excited about the chance to
host. You're an actor. You're interviewed on talk shows. You don't want to be hosting a talk show. That will end everything.
They were wrong.
And to me,
who would say that?
I don't know.
Her
deluded soap opera friends. We've worked with those soap opera. You have you ever seen ego like those soap opera people have? It's astonishing. And we did it 20 years ago, it seems like. We did the high school thing where we had to go out and host these soap opera stars. Uh-huh. I've never seen anything like it. They were walking around like they're Laurence Olivier.
Days of Our Lives, that was the cast, right?
Jesus, that's who tells them.
That will end everything.
They were wrong.
And to me, I never put those kind of barriers up in my mind. I thought work begets work. Opportunity begets opportunity.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, I
would believe that, you know, all the young people that are toiling away in soap operas have that fantasy that they're going to get the big TV show or they're going to get the big movie role. That's what they do it for.
Some do. Some big movie actors came out of soap operas.
Clooney was a soap actor.
There's a good example.
Just find it very interesting that when she's sitting there holding his drool cup, mm-hmm. on more than one occasion, she says to him in a very patronizing manner, "Oh, my big man, I'm nothing. I wouldn't be here without you." But then as soon as he leaves and Eisner comes in, she's like, well, I can't help it.
Yeah, watch. Keep tabs on that because that will only get worse.
I'm just it. I'm just, you know, what I'm wondering is really if she talks about something on the air and someone immediately calls.
Immediately.
How come no breast enhancement doctor has called her yet?
She hasn't talked about that much.
Well, I'd be willing to change.
Oh, she does. Yeah, endlessly, Buzz. True,
I would be willing to change my opinion on her. You know, with that,
if she got fixed,
yeah, I'd like to see that.
She's so she is so Dennis the Menace. She is so Beaver Cleaver. She is so little boy boobs.
That's why I'd like to see the really. I think she owes that to her fans.
How big?
No, really small, like bees. You could put B cups on her, and
bees.
She would look great. They're tearing my flesh off.
No, I want more. I want Morgana ones.
Oh, you want the Pam Anderson look?
No,
Lanny Fanny.
No, Pam Anderson too small.
Too small, Morgana.
I'm talking about
you want debilitating back injuries.
Yes, I'm talking about Guinness Book of World Records.
Remember Nikki Knockers?
Yeah, like Nikki Knockers.
What did Dolly Parton say? She's had to have surgery on her back, or she got terrible back trouble.
She's in the hospital
because she's been carrying those around for so long.
Yeah. Imagine what those things look like. Do you think hers look any good?
I do
at this point.
You really think they would? I would think really.
She says she had them firmed up. She said she's never had them enhanced in any way, but she's had them sort of lifted, I think.
She's never had, you mean those are real?
Oh, yeah.
I always thought Dolly Parton had a boob job.
I thought she had a boob job, too. Well,
the latest thing I read said the only work she had done was to have them perkier.
I mean, I heard about maybe a reduction, but I don't know. I thought they were fake, too.
Did you ever meet Dolly?
No, I know you did. I didn't.
You know, I was standing next to her. The thing I know is, you know, if you saw the picture of me and Dolly Parton, I swear to God, that's circa 19 whatever.
Bring it in.
I mean, really. But the first thing you notice about Dolly Parton is that she's tiny. She's short in stature. She's very, and of course you stare,
right?
You look, and my impression up close was that they were very properly encased and suspended. There was a lot of support there.
She had those before people were getting the enhancements.
I think you're right. When she was doing the Grand Ole Opry with Porter Wagoner. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I think they're real, and I don't think they're going to be spectacular, but I think they'd be okay.
Well, what Buzz says about she had them perked up a little bit, I kind of like that.
Now they're pointing in the right direction.
Who knows? I'm imagining scars and stuff like that.
Sure.
No, she hasn't had anything done.
But I had heard the story that you had heard all along that she had implants at some point that they
were
fake.
That's what I thought.
What I thought, too.
You know, there's been more speculation. I mean, you go back to Johnny Carson saying to her, I'd give about a year's pay just to peek under there. You know, and you wonder, really, she's talked about, like, facelifts and stuff.
Well, that's why I asked, what do you think they look like? Do you think they're pretty?
If she had a little nip tuck to perk them up a little bit, they probably look okay.
I don't think she can blink, but I think her breasts look fine.
I wonder over the years what she has been offered to pose in like Playboy or Penthouse magazine. It must be millions of dollars.
Not enough.
Because everybody would love to see, just on pure cure, even at this advanced age.
Sure, I
I'd
would.
Like to see what they look like.
I'd love to see them, absolutely.
Her do a spread with Shotgun Red.
Good old Shotgun Red.
Ralph Emery, full frontal.
All right, stop it, Rob. Now you're ruining the moment.
God.
Buzz, let's keep it erotic. Let's keep it.
Yes, please. Let's.
Let's keep it erotic for a moment.
All right.
You chew on this as we go to break. Okay. We just got this email from some chick named Trisha in Spokane, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Don and Mike, hi. Can you please ask Buzz a question for me? I was going to buy porn for my boyfriend, but I am overwhelmed. Because when I went to the smut shop, there's too much to choose from.
Yes. Too many wonderful
Buzz,
choices.
Would you please make a list of your essential porn that a home must have?
Oh, the Buzz Burbank Essential Collection.
Would you do that during would you be a love to do that during the break here?
I'll get out my pencil.
And little explanations for each one.
Oh, sure.
Why, you know, what you like and why.
I have my reasons.
The Malton Minute?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
And listen. You're going to be on the honor system on this.
Uh-huh.
No looking at reference materials
like
the internet.
All right.
Or maybe even any movies that you might happen to have in your valise today. It's all right here between the ears.
Fair what enough. Pleases
I'll,
Buzz?
I'll play by the rules. Absolutely.
Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Sexy, dirty Buzz.
I like that.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.